Bava Metzia, Perkhes Mishnah, base 8-2. We still have a couple Mishnahs more to go that are going to talk about things pertaining to custodianship, Shomrim. But the truth is we're moving away from that topic. And this Mishnah, although it's couched in the topic of a She'ela and a Sechira, renting and borrowing, but really it's about something totally different. Really, we're now in this Mishnah discussing how it works when you have a plaintiff, a Tohen, who is claiming one thing, and the defendant, the nit'an, claiming the other thing. And they really can go in four basic ways. That's the schematic of this Mishnah here. You could be that the plaintiff is certain about his rights to being compensated, and the defendant is certain he doesn't have to pay. Or maybe the defendant is not sure, just he's what's called a shema. He's got an uncertain claim. And it could also be that the plaintiff is uncertain. He's the one who's got a shema, but the defendant is bari. He's certain. Or it could be that both are bari, it could be both. Both are shema, both are not certain. And how we do that, and how we play that out in court. So the specific case of our Mishnah here involves, there are actually three separate cases that just make sense kind of confusing. They're all exactly the same, lalacha, where you have a person who's both renting and borrowing from the same person. Could be the same cow, and there's actually three cases. The first case is he takes one cow for one day, and the first half of the day he is borrowing it, he's a shoel, and the second half of the day he's a socher. And the second case, which is really the same, is that he gets the cow for 2 days. The first day it's barred, and the second day it's rented. And then the third case, the Mishnah seems to be that you have two different cows, one of which is rented, one of which is borrowed. It's all the same. The point is that, remember, when it comes to an ones, let's say the cow dies, we don't know why it dies, just the cows die eventually. So if the cow was a sha'ula, if it was a borrowed cow, so then the shomer is a borrower, he's a shoel, and therefore he's chayv and ontan, and he has to make compensation because his obligation is to return the cow, regardless of whether or not he could have done anything to prevent the cow from dying. Whereas if the cow was sachur, he was a socher, a renter, so the renter is exempt from ontan, and he can say, listen, the cow died, I'm sorry, I didn't have nothing to do with it, but I'm exempt, so I don't have to pay you. So, that's the setup of Mishnah. We're going to have four different cases of the Mishnah. There'll be these three separate versions, all the same, that you basically have a co-mingling of potential renting and potential borrowing, and therefore potential obligated, potential not obligated, regarding an onus. And then we'll have the four cases where the two claimants are either, each one gets a chance to be certain and uncertain, and all four possible permutations in terms of his claim for liability. So the Mishnah says inside, Hashoel es hapara, if a person borrows a cow, and it's sha'ala chatziyom usachara chatziyom, he gets the cow for 1 day, the first half of the day it's barred and unpaid, and the second half of the day it's rented and paid for. Or the same legal schedule would be if it's sha'ala hayom usachara lamachar, the cow was taken for 2 days, 1 day the first day it was borrowed, and therefore chayv and onsen, and the second day it was rented, and therefore exempt from onsen. Or the third case, equally the same, sacharachas v'shalachas, he got two cows, one of which was barred, one of which was rented. And then the mason, all three of those cases, which really, like I said, are the same, the cow dies, and now they're fighting over whether or not the borrower slash renter has to make compensation. So the first case is Hamashil Omer Sha'ula Mesa. The Mashil, meaning the owner of the cow who rented it out, he says that the status of the cow that died was a borrowed cow, and therefore the defendant, the borrower, has to make compensation. So the first case there is, we're talking about there's the two cows case. So he says Sha'ula Mesa, it was the borrowed cow that died as opposed to the rented cow. Or equally, Bayom Shahisa Sha'ula Mesa. It was 2 days, and the day in which it died was the day in which it was rented. Excuse me, the day in which it was borrowed, and therefore you're obligated. Or b'shashai sa'shu'ula mesa. Or the third case is that it was the single cow for one single day, but half the day was rented, half the day was barred. And the owner of the cow says, well, it died during the period in which it was a borrowed cow. Then again, therefore you're chayev to make compensation, even though it's onsen. So that's his claim is what's called a bari claim, right? He's claiming with certainty, I was there, I saw, I know the cow died when it was in the sha'ula status, and therefore you have to pay me. Vahala, the other guy, the defendant, the renter slash borrower, Omer, his claim is, Eini yodea. I don't know. I didn't see. Maybe you're right, and maybe you're wrong. So that's called a Shema claim. He's saying uncertain. I'm not saying for certain that I don't owe you the money, but I'm not convinced I do owe the money. I just don't know. So then says the Mishnah Chayev. Chayev means that the borrower has to pay back for the cow. Now, there's a Machlokus Amoraim, and one Shita holds that if you have two claims, Bari Veshema, one person certain, one person not certain, so then Bari Adif, the one that triumphs in that fight, is the one who's got a certain claim, which would mean that if the Bari is the plaintiff, he's saying, I know you owe me money, and the defendant is the Shema, I'm not sure, so then Bari Adif, the Bari wins out, meaning that the defendant would have to pay. And that's what our Mishnah seems to be saying. So according to that Shita in the Amoraim, our Mishnah reads very easily and straightforward. There is, however, another Shita in the Amoraim, and this Shita is the Shita Lahalacha, which is that if you have Bari Veshema, Bari Lav Adif, if you have the claim where the defendant is not sure, and the claimant, the plaintiff is sure, but he has no proof that he's right, he just claims certainty. So then the principle is, Hamotu Machavero Alav Haraya, the burden of proof is on the one who's trying to extract money from his fellow, meaning that Bari Veshema Lav Adif, just because you're sure you're owed the money doesn't help things. If you want the court to give you an award, you have to bring proof, you need a Raya, you need to have someone who can, you know, witnesses that will confirm it or something like that. So that's the halacha. Now, our Mishnah, on face value, cannot be read according to that Shita. So it reads simply, if you hold Bari Veshema Bari Adif, but it, if you hold Hamotu Mechavel of Araya, the question would be, well, why would it be that the Mishnah says Chayev, he should be exempt. He should be exempt from paying, because no Raya here. So the Bar Tanura follows the path of the Rambam, who explains this Mishnah according to the halacha, meaning according to the Amoraim, who hold that Bar Meshema Shema Lav Adif, and therefore Motu Mechaver Lav Raya. And if that's the case, why does the Mishnah say Chayev? So the Gemara says, well, that approach in the Amoraim, which is, like I said, the halacha accepted approach, would have to understand that there's more here than meets the eye. And the more that isn't explicit in the Mishnah is that there is an additional cow in the mix. And that additional cow, the plaintiff claims he's also owed for, however that, you know, it also died, let's say, whatever there is, and the defendant is agreeing to that. The defendant, the Shoel, the Nitan, he is saying, I agree that the one cow I owe you for, I'm just disputing the second cow. So once you have that, you have a whole different set of rules, because that's what's called moda b'miktsas. We actually had that before. In the Masechta, moda b'miktsas, again, means that you have a plaintiff who's claiming he's owed something, 100, and the defendant agrees to part of the claim. Let's say he agrees to 60, but he disputes the other 40. So the rule is, of course, hamotzu mechaver alav araya, if the plaintiff has no evidence, he can't extract the other 40. But the Torah allows him to demand a shavua. He can demand that the defendant swears regarding the other 40. And that's called shavuas moda b'miktsas, the partial admission swear. And the rule is, of course, so that would be the case over here. If the case is there's another cow, which another liability, which the defendant, the shoel, the is agreeing to, so he has to pay for that, but he's denying this other half, that's the topic of our Mishnah, so he'd have to take a shvu and swear that he doesn't owe another half. The problem is he can't swear that he doesn't owe the other half because he's any yodea, he doesn't know. And the rule is that if you're put to swear, but you can't swear, so the rule is that you have to pay. So you have two options. Either you have to swear on the miktsas you're denying, or you have to pay. Since he can't swear, he has to pay. So that's the case of our Mishnah here, according to the Bar Tanura, which would be lahalacha. Okay, that was case number 1 of 4. Case number 2 of 4, you have the socher omer sechura mesa. Now the bari, the certain claim, is coming from the defendant. He's saying, I know for a fact that it was the rented cow, was the cow that died, and therefore I'm certain I'm exempt. Here he's referred to as the socher. In the previous case, the Mishnah was referred to as the shoel, because here he's claiming he was a socher at the time. The relevant point is he was a renter. So he's saying he's certainly he's a renter. And that would be, if we're talking about the first cases, we have two cows, right? So socher omer sechura mesa. Of the two cows, it was the rented cow that died. Or biyom sha'aitz sechura mesa, or it was, of the 2 days, it was on the day that it was a rental. That's when it died, so I'm exempt. Or b'shasha ha'isa sechura mesa, or at the time that it died, because it was the cow rented for one day, but half of the day was rented, half the day was borrowed, it died during the rental period, and therefore I'm exempt. He's claiming that as a bari, with certainty. Vahala, and the plaintiff, the owner of the cow, omer eni yodea, he doesn't know. So then says the Mishnah Patzer, then the defendant is totally off the hook, because he's claiming with certainty, so he can't be, if we understand that we're going to understand the whole way through, this is a modem mitzvah situation where there's another cow, so good, he'll pay for that cow. The other cow, he's saying with certainty he doesn't owe for, and therefore he could take the shvuah. He'll swear on the shvuah's modem mitzvah that he doesn't obligate another half, and he'll be exempt. And that's that. So that's straightforward enough. The third case, ze omer sh'ula v'ze omer sechura. Both of them, plaintiff and defendant, are both claiming with certainty as bari that they're two opposite positions. The owner says it was rented, it was borrowed at the time, and therefore you have to pay him back. Whereas the renter says, no, it was a rental, and I have to pay it back. So then, yishava ha-socher she-sechura mesa. He will have to swear that he doesn't have to pay. So what oath? What shvu we're talking about over here? So it's the same case again. If you understand, it's a modem mitzvah, so then it's the same situation again. He'll swear on the mitzvah and be off the hook, done like that. Now there's a bit of a complexity. Let me leave it at that. Okay, fine, leave it at that. So simple enough. The fourth case is ze omer eni yodea ze omer eni yodea. If both plaintiff and defendant both say, I just don't know. We're well-meaning Jews. I understand it could have died when it was a shchura. It could have died when it was a shula. I just don't know which. And the same goes with the owner. It says the same thing. So what do they do? So says the Mishnah, yachaloku, they should split the difference. They should just divide up the cow was worth 100. So then the loss 100. So then the renter slash borrower should pay 50. Okay, now that is based on the principle of mamon hamutal besafik yachaloku. If you have a situation of what's it's called drara de mamona, an uncertainty with what to do with who is entitled to some financial payment, we just don't know. We're the rabbis, the bezdin, are just going to ever forever remain in doubt because no one knows the facts. So the shita here is that not the case. So they split the difference. The yachaloku. That is the shita of sumchus, the famous shita of sumchus, the mamon hamutal besafik yachaloku. However, the halacha follows the chachamim. Which is, we don't say that. What we say is hamotu mechaver lavarai in all cases. And if we don't know, then we just won't extract money from the mochtzak, the person who, we won't take money from the guy who has money in his pocket. We won't do that. So therefore, again, this mishnah is not going lahalacha, this part of it. It's going according to sumchas shita, but lahalacha, you wouldn't be able to force the guy to take a shvuah of any kind, because there's no certain claim on the case of the plaintiff. And therefore, the defendant simply will pay nothing.